Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Are you serious?
So, welcome to How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy, and I'm going to introduce you to today's guest, somebody who I've actually wanted to get on the podcast for a little while. But first things first, we are up for a gong at this year's British Podcast Awards. Potentially, you can maximise our chances of grabbing the Listener's Choice Award supported by BBC Sounds. All you have to do is click the link in our bio, which is britishpodcastawards.com/vote. Type in How to Kill an Hour and then prove you're not a robot and you will be helping us out. We appreciate all of the votes we've had so far. People have been sliding in my DMs just saying, hey man, I voted. So I appreciate that. So britishpodcastawards.com/vote is where you need to head to if you'd like to support How to Kill an Hour. It takes like 30 seconds for you to do it. So crack on. Today's show, I'm joined by the presenter, writer, producer extraordinaire, Richie Driss.
All right, mate.
How you doing, bruv? You're right.
I'm very, very well, thanks. How are you?
How do you feel being called an extraordinaire?
I think it's a little bit much, because I don't feel like I'm at an extraordinaire level just yet.
I think you're an all right guy. He's all right.
I'll take that. I'll take that and run with it. Okay. So if you'd gone with writer, producer, all right guy, I'd have been like, yeah.
So he's an all-round, normal, kind of cool, all-right kind of guy, Richie Driss. Now, thanks for coming on the show, man. Now, we've got to address the elephant in the room. Congratulations for making it as the 38th presenter of a show that is it the longest-running children's or the longest-running children's television? Is it in the world?
In the world.
In the world.
Which means in the universe, because, I mean, well, we don't know if there are any other children's TV shows in the whole entire universe, do we? So I prefer to say in the universe.
So as far as we know, in the universe, there is no other TV show that's been running for as long as Blue Peter. Congratulations, mate. The 38th presenter.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
And like, this isn't, like, if you're not from the UK, which some of our listeners are, like, being on Blue Peter is kind of a really big deal. It's not a TV show where I think that, like, there are like only 38 presenters on this show. Like, there are loads of shows out there with many presenters, and you're the 38th.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be cooler to be the 40th, to be honest. Like, it's a nice round number, but how does 38 feel for you?
It fits perfectly. I mean, Lindsay, the co-presenter on Blue Peter, she said it to me the other day. She said it best when the show has been going for 60 years and only 37 other people know what it's like in 60 years to be a part of something. So it's a British institution, let's be honest.
Yeah, 100% is an institution. And the fact that you've totally ignored the fact that there's a production team, cameramen, directors, just proves you are becoming a monster already, Richie.
No. I'm sorry, producers and camera crew and everyone behind the scenes. I love you all. Genuinely, they've all been absolutely magic with me the last couple of weeks.
And when can we expect to see you on the screens then?
Thursday, May 16th, 5:30 PM, CBBC. I am making my debut.
Bosh. You've got the TV set up to record that as well?
Everyone apart from me does.
Yeah.
So don't worry, I'll be getting a copy of it. That's for sure.
Wicked. I look forward to seeing what you get up to, man. I'm going to start watching children's BBC for a little while.
yeah. That first show is going to be... I've been thrown in with a challenge straight away. First episode, first challenge. But if you'd given me a list, I'm not going to say too much, but if you'd given me a list of challenges to do, this absolutely would have been nowhere near the top 20, 30. I wouldn't have picked it.
Really?
Honestly, literally the only reason I chose to do it was because it's Blue Peter, for the badge.
Yeah.
It's not something I would ever have wanted to have done. But that's the whole idea, is Blue Peter is built, you know, one of the things that it's renowned for is average people like myself sort of trying very above average things.
Yeah.
And just giving it a go and just being the best version of you, you know, that you can be.
I think that's what's important about shows like that, is that for young people, especially in this world where there's Instagram and social medias, the like, where everybody kind of has to be the hypest, best version of themselves.
Exactly.
Blue Peter does, like you say, kind of revolve around being having grounded people trying things. So as an average person, I think you'll do quite well on the show.
Average. Average. Thank you.
And so you have to do a challenge to earn your badge. It's been a while since I've watched it. So do you have to do a challenge to earn your first badge before you crack on? Is that how it works?
I cannot go that deeply into it. All I know is that I was obviously, you know, given the badge to wear. So if they decide, you know, on the show, I don't know any of the script, if they decide to say, oh, that was terrible, we're taking your badge away, then you've got to earn it again, then fair play, but I don't know for sure.
And there's like tiers to the badges as well. Like, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
I forget about it. There's like a green, I think I've seen a green one.
Yeah, green badge, orange, purple, diamond, gold.
Diamond?
Yeah, and of course the regular blue.
Okay.
Say regular, special. But
I've got one of those.
Yeah.
I've got one of the regular special ones.
Oh,
yeah.
Good man. What did you get that for?
Breaking a world record with your mate Lindsay.
Hey. I think
we broke a world record for the most amount of people getting slapped in the face with a custard pie. And they had the proper official there, like the proper Guinness World Record official there going, right, that's a sufficient amount of cream on that plate, right? That was a good slap. Like, if there wasn't sufficient force in the push on the face, or if there wasn't enough cream, it didn't count.
Honestly, some of the world records out there are absolutely magnificent. I really want to think of one that is sort of, on the one hand, the most mundane, but also you get a world record out of it.
The most oranges peeled in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
The most melons sliced with a katana in 60 seconds.
But even if it's something really, really surreal, where there isn't even a record for it yet.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So the most, I don't know, I'm looking around the room for inspiration. The most times you like draw on a backpack in a minute. Do you know what I mean? Like something so random where you literally have to do it once and then you've got the world record.
The most times tying and untying your laces in 90 minutes. Wow, your fingers, bruv.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, that'd hurt.
Yeah.
Before we crack on with today's show, though, what we usually like to do is talk about how we've been killing a little bit of time, right? I'm going to ask you that in a moment. I'm going to share with you a few ways that I've been killing time recently. And by the way, all of these ways that we've been killing time, we'll put links to in the show description. First things first, we're going to do a bit of time travel because I am about to watch the John Wick film. So what we're going to do is record that after this show, plonk it right here in the next few seconds, and then we're going to come back to where we're recording this show. So this is my reaction to the new John Wick 3 Parabellum film. So let's try and get our heads around the timeline here. So right now, you are listening to a recording that is made after the episode with Richie Driss, and we've just watched the John Wick film. And when I say just, last night. We didn't have time to record anything last night. So I'm back in the studio with producer Bill. What's going on, Billy boy?
How's it going, mate? You good?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm loving the beard, by the way, before we get into some John Wick. That beard is looking strong. Billy's kind of got that growth now where it's looking like you're looking like you could... looking like you're ready for some good outdoors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What type of outdoors are we talking about? Like, hiking.
You're looking like you could do some hiking in some cold climates, like some Everest type hiking out there. That's a good, like, what kind of beard maintenance are we on right now, Bill?
Just can't shave.
Oh, yeah. Are you oiling it or anything?
No.
You are trimming it, though. It looks trimmed.
I haven't trimmed it, no.
Really? It's holding really good shape.
Natural growth.
But it's holding, like, really good shape. Do you brush it?
No. I do the old stroke just to get rid of the old stragglers, but other than that,
good old chin stroke. Anyway, so John Wick 3 Parabellum. Parabellum actually means getting ready for war, preparing for war. That's actually what that word means, you know.
Never knew that.
Yeah, and you've never watched any of the John Wicks.
Never watched any of them whatsoever. Apparently, it's supposed to be a really good franchise.
Yeah, so
not even dipped my toes into it.
Yeah, so. Franchise is definitely what it is. So this film, right now, we're at the third installment, right? So at this point in the storyline, John Wick has violated the Assassin's Code, right? And there is a $14 million bounty on his head, right? This doesn't spoil the first two films.
Well, apparently in the second one, something happened to his dog. That's the big old meme going around about John Wick and his dog.
Oh, that's the first film. So if you've watched the first few films, there are little bits that hark back to those jokes. So the first film has John Wick's dog in it, and you understand the kind of dog jokes that run through this film. So basically in this film, he's disrespected the Assassin's Code, and there's a $14 million bounty on his head. Now, my concern was, how do you take this film up a notch? Because you can't go down a notch with regards to action, right? The first film was action-packed. The second film was jam-packed full of action. How do you take this up a notch without it being ridiculous? In the same way that I feel like the first Transporter film with Jason Statham was amazing, whereas the second and the third one started to get a bit too crazy. Like, you know, he'd drive a car and flip it upside down and knock a bomb that was stuck onto the bottom of it. Like, I'm like, all right, really, is that possible? But so in John Wick, I was concerned there was going to be like out of the question, the crazy, stupid action that just wasn't realistic. I'm going to be honest, Bill. Within 5 minutes of the film starting, they managed to hit that sweet point of taking the action up. They've taken it up a notch, right? And there was a round of applause in the cinema 5 minutes in. I'm not exaggerating. A round of applause 5 minutes into the film, where John Wick basically uses a physical representation of his mourning throughout the three films to mash up a foe. So, like, you summarize the whole of John Wick's existence within 5 minutes of the film, and there was a round of applause, right? That in itself was amazing. So 5 minutes in, I was like, wow, how do you maintain this for an hour and a half? And long story short, the action is delivered in this film, Bill. So I don't know what kind of action you're into when it comes to films, but I mean, what are you into? Like, are you into like sort of hand-to-hand combat and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I did have a little listen to the Richie Juice episode. I quite like the Jason Bourne.
So you like Jason Bourne, right?
Yeah, I like the fight scenes. They were good. I didn't think they were too quick. I thought they were interesting.
See, I like them too, right? I like them too. And I'll be honest, the fighting, the hand-to-hand stuff in John Wick, some of it is very slow paced. As in, it's not like, it's like slugging warfare. There's tiredness. You see people having to get their breath as you would in a real fight if you were doing some real hand-to-hand combat. But that doesn't take away from the grittiness of it. So if you like Jason Bourne, that's cool. But don't be afraid that the slower action in this, and there's fast action in this as well. There's stuff that's lightning fast. But the slower stuff in this, it just feels more gritty. Like this 50-year-old Keanu Reeves is doing proper MMA moves on people.
I mean, like you said, the fact you said realism, because sometimes when you watch an action movie, you hit the bad guys, they each take their turn to get.
Yeah.
But with, that would never happen in real life.
Of course, of course. And granted, he's a protagonist, right? So yeah, odds are in real life, if a million people were firing bullets at you, he'd probably be hit a bit more, yeah? So we got to take that off the table, as you would in any film, right? You get me? But I mean, I'll get onto the action in just a minute, but in the film, you see him traveling over to Casablanca, which is actually Esso Wiera in Morocco, where we went and looked at the Ford Raptor Ranger, funnily enough. Oh. It's exactly the same location. So you see him traveling across the world.
In a Ford Ranger?
Not in a Ford. Not in a Ford. In a classic car or two. And you get to see him kind of explore a little bit more of this assassin's world. So what they've done in John Wick, Bill, is they've actually created this assassin's world, which is way bigger than what you see in the film. So it's got history, it's got a present, there's tensions within it that is a great thing about the film, because it's always, you feel like you stepped into something that you're never really going to understand all of. And, you know, unless you watch the next film, do you know what I mean? And then there's always more of it anyway. And I kept forgetting throughout the film, Bill, that Keanu Reeves, I've said it before, is 50 years old, yeah? And there's a lot of very physical hand-to-hand combat and stunt stuff that he's doing. Yeah, there's some slightly crazier stuff that happens where I think I spotted maybe a double, or there was quite a bit of CGI, which is necessary when you're, like, using knives on high-speed motorbikes. Yeah, I'm going to presume that he didn't do that all live. But a 50-year-old Keanu Reeves just kicking ass. I was just impressed, man. He's in great shape, and he was handling business. And also, cheekily, I think there could be a couple of nods to The Matrix in it as well. There's a couple of things he does and says which kind of look like a few of the very key scenes or very big scenes that were in The Matrix, a film that came out 20 years ago, in case you haven't heard of it, which was like groundbreaking at the time, and Keanu Reeves was doing kung fu with CGI that had never been seen before. So the fact that there's a couple of nods to that, there's a couple of lines that he says And people were like, "Raw, was that a Matrix line?" It was really, really good. Also, I just want to say there's a lovely, she's in the trailer, so I can say Halle Berry's in the film as well. Also, another 50 plus year old actor kicking, bruv. Like they invent a style of fighting with some very interesting aids that I've never seen before. So if you look at the trailer, there's some hints towards it. So she adds in this whole new dynamic type of fighting alongside with against John Wick. It's quite interesting to look at as well. Bill, I was just like, I was honestly consistently blown away throughout the film. I'm going to give you a gripe though about it, because they've had to take it up a level with regards to the action and the arm breakery and smashery and destructionery and all that sort of stuff. There are a couple of moments that, and I've always said this on the show, I'm a bit weak when it comes to gross out moments. So there's a couple of gross out scenes where you see kind of, I don't know, for me, I have a low tolerance for peeling off body parts and seeing that in films.
But you'd play something like Mortal Kombat, don't you?
I'd play Mortal Kombat, but it's not as real yet. Mortal Kombat still has a cartoony edge to it.
I see.
We're talking about proper practical effects, so it looks very real. So there's a couple of bits like that I was like, nah, I don't really like that. And to me, it didn't really bring anything to the plot. Like, it's kind of granted that everyone in this universe is a badass, so I don't really need to see, like, you know, skin peelery, for want of a better set of words. But, you know, a lot of other people could enjoy that sort of stuff and get on with it. That's my only really small gripe, yeah? But John Wick was like a perfect combination of ridiculous and feasible action, that kind of real thin line between that's a bit crazy, but okay, I guess it's possible. So there's loads of that in there. And they could have gone stupid with the action. They could have gone really silly with the action, but I feel like they kept a lid on it. And it keeps it quite believable if you believe bulletproof suits exist. That's the only granted. When you watch John Wick, you have to believe there's a bulletproof suit and that exists. Potentially that will in a few years. That's the only thing I'm like, right, get that off the table, right? And then everything's pretty believable. And in the UK, Bill, do we clap at the cinema when we enjoy films?
No.
Round of applause at the end of the film. Round of applause 5 minutes in.
Those are the sort of people that clap when the airplane lands at the airport.
Telling you, Bill, I was clapping, bruv. It was a great film. I want to get a dog now. So that's it. John Wick 3, Parabellum. Have you got any questions, Bill, about this? Anything that you think I may not have covered?
Do I have to watch the first two to get to know what's going on in this third film?
They give you enough to explain and understand, but there's some in-jokes, like you said, about the dog and stuff like that. There's in-jokes about that I'd recommend watching the first two films. And the first two films, they won't have aged badly. They're only a couple of years old. They're really good. Really, really good films. And people also forget as well, the timeline for John Wick. Whilst we waited years for the film, all of this action happens in a relatively short amount of time. So you can watch them, all three films, like first two films, you know, on demand, and then watch John Wick in the cinema and you feel like you're in a Netflix season.
Mm.
It's really good, man. Shout out to Keanu Reeves. Shout out to there's so many great actors in there. There's also, speaking of The Matrix, there's another actor that you may recognize from The Matrix in the film as well. Yeah, good old Lawrence is in there. He has an outstanding performance. It's well cast, great film. If you like action, this ticks all of the boxes, man. So that is my review of John Wick 3 Parabellum. Click the link in the show description to get more info about the film. We're about to have the sound effect and head back to the interview with Richie Driss, where we have guessed whether I would enjoy the film or not. So that's what I thought of John Wick. I think I'm going to love it. I'm a big fan of the franchise. Are you a fan of the franchise?
Oh, mate, honestly. Like, I've sat through 1 and 2 just over the weekend, just gone, and yeah. I thought, this is, so listen, I'm going to nerd out a little bit here.
Yeah.
When it comes to action films, I am a snob. Dislike Fast and Furious. There, I said it.
And that was the podcast finish for How to Kill an Hour.
Dislike the Jason Bourne films are overrated for me.
Really?
Yeah.
All of them?
I think they're overrated. Story's good, but when it comes to an action film,
right,
you want the story, of course, but you want to watch action.
So you want real action in your films. Okay.
So, I mean, it makes sense. I want real action in my action films. Like if you watch a comedy and you don't laugh, you just wasted 2 hours of your life.
Fair enough.
Right? The Jason Bourne films, the editing and the fight scenes is far too quickly. I'm going to bore you to death with this, but you can't tell what's going on. You can't tell what's going on in the Jason Bourne films because the editing is so fast and so choppy, and it's more like a music video than it is an action film, as opposed to John Wick, where the takes are really long. It's like 10 seconds of with 20 different punches and 30 different kicks in 10 seconds, and you can see what's going on.
Do you know what the difference is with John Wick is that, and big respect to Keanu Reeves, 50 years old, I think he is,
Unreal.
And he's out here doing his own stunts.
Yeah.
But he's done a lot of training within like MMA, and he's done training with Navy SEALs, and he refreshes that training for every single film. So in without spoiling it, in the second film, he does some infiltration of a compound, right? And it requires him to set up his entrance and exit, and that requires weapons set up, a special suit, which is a little bit out of this world, but to be fair, they just wrote it in, so I believed it.
Yeah.
And his close combat was amazing. So you see him taking on people, but instead of in certain films, like you said, it's like loads of fast punches. You see him like put somebody in a lock and a hold, flip them over.
See everything.
It looks really real and gritty. It's slower, isn't it? Yeah. But it has more impact.
Yeah.
But the only danger is with these films, Richie, though, and I'm guessing I love it. All right, I'm guessing I've loved it. My only worry is, though, is that it's becoming more and more extreme. How do you take it to the next level without it getting silly? And I'm hoping they manage to keep that balance in.
That's personal preference, because, again, that's a problem for myself with the Fast and Furious films, for example, right, is that what they did is they would throw in a plot twist to keep you on your feet, but the plot twist will just be, like, ridiculous. It'll be like one of the characters saying, aha, I worked for the bad guys all along. And it's like, oh, well, that's just lazy.
Whereas this,
it's all in the action sequences, but they also keep them grounded because it's all practical effects with Keanu Reeves doing stunts instead. But let's be honest, with John Wick 3, I'm expecting big things, and I don't think I'm going to be disappointed, because do you remember the very first screenshot that got released for it? It was Keanu Reeves on the back of a horse holding a gun to the head of someone riding a motorbike, and that person was also holding a sword. If that doesn't sell it as the greatest film of all time...
Say no more. So yeah, John Wick 3, no doubt. I'm coming off the back end of saying I enjoyed it. So the next thing up is we actually, the guys here at How to Kill an Hour got sent down, myself, Inel Tomlinson, and Mr. Midas. We all went down to the Red Bull Escape Room. And basically, it was a world championship escape room. So basically, they got some of the world's best escape roomists to come and have a go at their extreme escape room, right? To put it in perspective, Slovakia won, right? It was called Omni Escape. And I won't go too far into how crazy this escape room was. And I think they got out of the escape room within 27 minutes and 16 seconds, right? So they took myself... I said Mr. Midas, sorry, he wasn't there. Myself, Inel Tomlinson, Julia Hardy, and someone else who was there, who I can't remember their name, part of the PR team. They put us in this world-class escape room where we had to kind of find our way out. Do you want to know how long it took us?
So the world record is 27 minutes.
The world record, the championship, it was the world championships, and the world were the holders of the championships. Are Slovakia, who done it in 27 minutes.
It took you 27 hours.
I'm going to be honest, right? We got out of it.
Okay.
I think we got out of it because they needed to close. Right?
Seriously.
And it was an amazing experience, right? But I knew we weren't doing so well, because when you do these escape rooms, you get kind of a little bit of support and help. So you'll have somebody kind of on a microphone looking at you via the security cameras that they have in each of the rooms, telling you how to get through certain stages if you're struggling, right? So if you're at a door and you can't find the password, they might be like, maybe you want to look to your left, or maybe you want to look at your right, maybe you want to look at that picture frame, or maybe you want to do this. So the gentleman was pressing a button and then talking to us, or flicking a switch, and he was really chirpy at the start. Hey guys, you're doing really, really good. Make sure you look over there. Okay, cool. And I knew that we were taking a really long time, because I think he pressed the button too early once, like towards the end, and he went so guys, and I was like, and I said, are you right there in there, mate? Like, are we taking a little while? He was like, no, you're actually doing really, really well, guys. So we had a go at one of the world's hardest escape rooms. That sounds very Blue Peter, though.
It does, big time.
We've got more of those coming up this year, actually. We just had an email in about a really cool new type of escape room, which we'll be doing in a few shows' time. So what else have we been killing time with recently? Oh, yeah, one more thing. I was out in Morocco last week, actually, Rich.
Nice.
And I got to drive around a big boy 4x4 car. It's called Ranger Raptor. It's by Ford. And our experience was basically, how could you negotiate very varied terrain? And I got to say, for starters, Morocco is a beautiful place. A beautiful place. And I think a lot of people know about Marrakesh, but we were up by the coast. I can't remember the specific name of the area we're in. But I must say, like, what a beautiful country. Like, make sure your French is on fleek if you're by the coast in Morocco, because my French was all right. I managed to get by. But yeah, man, we were driving around this 4x4 all over the place. And I think, I don't want to get too, like, emotional at the moment, but, like, bruv, you know when you forget how big the world is? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
all the time.
When you're in another part of the world, and I was, like, caning along the beach in a 4x4. The sea was to my right.
What was the soundtrack?
For me?
Yeah.
It's so funny. In the cars, they give you, like, a soundtrack, and it was, like, some Jimi Hendrix stuff, which was pretty nice. Cool. But then I was like, nah, that's got to go, man. That's, took that out.
Right.
Plugged in my phone. Went, swiped. There's no sound for swiping on your phone, but...
That's right. Yeah, I get what you mean.
And I had two choices. It was either some Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Or it was Dr. Dre 2001.
Okay. Depends what sort of vibe you're going for.
And I thought, if there's sand, if there's some sea, if I'm on a coast, let me get some West Coast vibe on. So I did put on 2001 and I was just caning it down the beach. Camels were to my... It was amazing just having a camel to my right. Just zinging past the cameras, going, what the hell's going on? Listening to 2001. And also what was funny as well about this trip is basically when you do these kind of excursions in cars, they get a bunch of you and they give you a route in your GPS, right? And they send you somewhere. So they go, right, we're going to go for a route. It's an hour's drive. Halfway through, switch over. You can both experience the car. Now, this car is cool because it had off-road modes, like Baja mode for sand dunes. And it had, like, rock mode and gravel mode and like, sports mode if you're not on any crazy roads, right? So we're testing all of those out on the first day. Amazing fun, right? You got to go on sand dunes. Actually, driving on sand dunes is pretty cool. I've got a video that I put up on my Instagram of me, like, doing a mad jump, which is pretty sick. But on the second day of driving, we saw these signs and they had the logo for the car on them and they were in an arrow. And the logo was always facing the right way up, right? That was your kind of indication that the arrow was pointing in the right direction. Halfway through our second day, we saw an arrow that was pointing to the left.
Of course you did.
And there were a bunch of kids standing next to it. Like, hey. And they added like an extra 2 hours onto our journey, bro. And I went proper off-road in this car. But to be fair, best kind of vehicle to be stuck in the outbacks of Morocco in.
There you go.
Yeah, but I'm going to say these brand new cars came back looking not so brand new.
Right. Yeah, then at least that means you put them through their paces.
I did indeed. Right. Oh yeah, proper, like, I didn't realise how important it was to have, or how blessed we are here to have roads that are actually roads.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the Ford Ranger Raptor. We've got a full video of that on the website as well. You can check out. One more thing we've been killing time with. If that's not enough, I actually went on a high-tech cruise ship. Yeah, one of the world's highest tech cruise ships. That was also one of the smallest cruise ships as well. And what that means is when you get a high-tech cruise ship and combine it with a small cruise ship, it means you can go into places that other cruise ships can't. Because like a big, I'm not a cruise guy, right? But by the end of this cruise, I knew about cruises. Right. Cruises can be like 3,000 people on them, 5,000 people, I think even. This was like a 500-person jobby. And we went up the Norwegian fjords.
Okay, I've got to ask. Yeah, I know zero about cruise ships and right. cruises and all that. But where does a dinghy end and a cruise ship begin?
I think it's...
Because you said you're on about size.
Right, I think it's dinghy, boat, yacht,
yeah,
then cruise. And I think the difference between a yacht and a cruise is basically a cruise is a commercial liner and a yacht is owned by a person. Because I know there's some big yachts out there.
Got
like
you.
There are yachts out there with like multiple helipads on them and stuff.
Diddy yachts.
Oh, 100%. And they look like cruise ships. But then obviously they're not commercial liners. So I think a yacht is something that you own. So when you're rich richer, Richie, and you've got that yacht that you own, it won't be a cruise until you decide to open the doors and charge people to come on it. And I thought cruises were for people that had had all of their fun in life and just wanted to be boring and old, which there's nothing wrong with. I look forward to being boring and old and just let the ship take them where they need to be. But if I'm honest, like, because this cruise ship we went on, it's called the Le Champlain. It was by Ponan. I don't know what that means. That's just the name of the brand. We went up the Norwegian fjords. And I've got to say, like, Norway is one of the most beautiful places in the world. It is, like I said, Morocco is beautiful. It is. But the difference between somewhere like Norway and Morocco is that, like, Morocco's a beauty of vastness. Like, it's a vast beauty. Like, it spans out for miles and miles. It feels like you could just drive through it forever. But Norway is kind of like, you see these really high mountains that are that they feel really close, but they're really high as well. Especially the further up the fjords you get, the tighter things get. And this ship feels like it's just cruising along this little maze. And it's like you're warm on the deck, but you look up and you see a snowy mountain to your left and a fisherman's boat to your right.
You just added a life goal to the list, so thanks.
What, Norway?
That sounds amazing.
100%. Go to Norway. And then also, if you're lucky, I wasn't, you can get Northern Lights if you're in the right
way.
If you can. But I've been in an environment where I'm supposed to have seen Northern Lights, and like every time, like, four times, not managed to see it. So, yeah, I'm pretty gutted. But yeah, you can get that. And what's cool though is that, like, these cruises, like I said, you think they're for people that are just not active, right? But
yeah.
If you're going up the fjords, every time it stops off, you can rent a bike, or you can go for a run, or you can go for a walk and see like a really beautiful place.
Obviously you're going to prove me wrong, but that's the thing I feel about cruise ships as well, is just developing cabin fever. And it's like, okay, you can play, what's that? It's like curling, but with...
long, what's it called again? Boring games.
Yeah, basically you've played 14 days of throwing a beanbag into a hole on the... You know what I mean? Games.
Do you know what?
It is
when you think about it, that's what you'd presume, right? And on the larger cruises, they can counteract your boredom if you're out for like 2 days cruising, if you're in the water for 2 days. These big, big cruises have things like theatres.
Like, sorry, what?
There's actual theatres. So there's like a theatre there's a show. There's like a live singer. Like, these things are enormous. There's cinema rooms. There's pools. There's recreational areas. These yachts that are like for 5,000 people, they're enormous, right? So when you have a smaller version of this, right, you don't get all of that. But what you do get is you can have regular stop-offs. So I kind of didn't even feel like I was on the ship too much, because it's like you have some nice dinner in the evening, go to sleep, wake up somewhere else, get off the boat, cruise, and then go and walk around and enjoy what that's like, and then come back, have some dinner, and you go somewhere else.
That's mad to me that they have shows and like dancing shows while on the sea, because I feel, when I've been on a boat, I've never been on anything as big as a cruise ship, so I don't know if it's anything different, but I feel that I am on the sea. And I say, someone dancing in a show whilst on the sea, that takes some skill, because I mean, I just...
You're thinking it's rocking around. When they're that big,
you don't feel it.
They don't rock. Bruv, these things are like, they'll never sink. No, these things are like, these things are enormous. Like, so they don't, I mean, unless it's really choppy, you don't feel it moving. So on this small cruise, they said it's a really choppy night. There was a bit of movement in night. And then I remember waking up and feeling like, bit of movement, because I'm terrible with seasickness. That was like my one worry.
Right.
That I'm just not going to enjoy myself, because I'm just like, you know, chucking up over the side of the boat for the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's kind of open. I think that there's room for cruises that are like for active people. So like a running cruise. So every day you stop off, go for a run up the mountain.
Right.
Or every day you stop off, cycle. There was kayaking going on. So we could hop on a kayak and just go along these ice cold fjords and just kind of take in the beauty. Like, we've actually done a video for this that we're going to drop. And yes, we have done videos that I'm very proud of in the past, but this video, like, so the car one that I just told you about, that's like me going, sick.
Yeah.
But this video of Norway, you see some absolute beauty there.
Okay, so the soundtrack to Morocco was Dr. Dre. What was the soundtrack to Norway? I got
sail away, sail away, sail away.
That is wonderful.
That's what it was. Yeah. Did you like that rendition?
I can't name the song, but it was beautiful.
Is it on your sing? Oh, I can't remember, but yeah, it's on my Spotify somewhere. Okay. Sail away, sail away.
Yeah, I still don't. Yeah.
No. And because it was high tech, they put some techie stuff on it, so it's super safe. Basically, it's got loads of tech, which means that it's really eco-friendly. So it uses salt water, filtration system to create. Basically, what they do is they are very careful to analyze the environment that they're in. So when the ship passes through it, it doesn't disturb the wildlife.
Love that.
That's super important.
Big fan.
And ships take in water and expel salt water to help with their buoyancy.
Yeah.
But they do it in a way which means they don't suck up water from one area and pump a whole load of water into another, because that would also upset the wildlife.
Yeah.
Now, because wildlife's quite an important thing in nature, they actually got a gentleman called Jack, who's a legendary designer of many sea, many things across the sea. he's really good. If I start trying to list off stuff, he's amazing. But basically, they gave him a carte blanche to design a bar on the boat, and he decided to put it in the bottom of the boat and put windows all over it. So he made this bar that called the Blue Eye,
mad,
that you go downstairs into and you can see into the water. So during clear, like when the water's really clear, so when these probably more suitable for when they're in like tropical areas, you'll be in relatively shallow water again because it's a smaller cruise, so you can see wildlife floating past. And they put cameras all over the boat as well, and they've got massive TV screens, so you can sit in this really relaxing lounge, this bar, sip a nice beverage at the end of the day and just feel like you're around the wildlife.
When you first said designing the bar, I thought that's got to be the easiest job, because all you need to do is make sure it's well stocked with juice, and then everyone will be happy.
Juice, and make sure it's strong enough for everyone to lean against.
Exactly.
That's what you think. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
no, but then you just sort of took it up a level from...
Oh, yeah. This blue room was absolutely beautiful. And he, like I said, he could just make it happen. So you've got these massive windows, which are made of really thick glass. So it means that they can actually have them way bigger than a usual porthole that you'd have on a regular size ship like that. And they put microphones in the water as well, which kind of can transmit the sound, so you can hear like other whales singing to each other potentially if they're in the area. And again, because they have all of this eco-friendly tech where they can find out where wildlife is, they can kind of point their the ship in the right direction, or point the mics in the right direction, so you can kind of hear whales potentially as well. Like, it's chill, man.
That's all well and good. That sounds wonderful until you hear something that you don't necessarily want to hear. Because, yeah, exactly. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not the greatest with open water.
Do you have
it's
that,
not my territory.
Do you have the Jaws syndrome? Do you, like,
I've
when you're
never
swimming,
seen
do you ever think
Jaws.
About, okay. But, Meg?
I've never seen them. I've never seen neither for that exact reason. Is that I don't want, like, I hate jellyfish, I hate octopi, I hate squid, I hate sharks, but I've swum with sharks and it was the scariest thing I've ever done.
They can smell your fear.
Exactly.
As well, you know? They can tell that you're scared.
Exactly. And that's their territory. I'm out of control. I'm not in control. If they like the look of me, they'll just...
That's the thing, Matt. You have to put, like, I try and put this in the back of my mind is you just hit the nail on the head, is that when you're running around, like, imagine a shark was plonked on the beach. You can run around it, laugh at it, roll it back in the water.
Yeah, wow, this is my territory.
When we're in the water, they're looking, we are slow, we're weak.
Easiest snack they'll ever have.
And they could look at us and be like, hmm. But that, and also, I also hate jellyfish as well. So, like, so when 7 Pounds, the Will Smith film, was on at the cinema, there was a jellyfish. I had to close my eyes and look away,
look.
And like someone was laughing at me.
I couldn't look.
Are you that? Where did yours come from? Mine came from like some weird show. I think it came from like an episode of Baywatch where everyone got stung by jellyfish back in the day. I've been just traumatized. I was like, I'd never go to the water again.
That's far more embarrassing than mine, which was, I think it's linked to walking in on my dad watching Alien. Right, when I was about 7 or 8, I think it was my dad or my brother, I can't remember. When I was like 7 or 8, and it was the scene at the beginning where John Hurt gets attacked by the facehugger. Right, I walked in on that, and then within the same week, it was these three things that happened all in the same week. I was playing, remember the original Half-Life?
Yeah, of course you do. Classic.
And those head crab things just came out of nowhere, and they scared the heck out of me, like that. I was like, what the hell? Ah! And then Alien vs. Predator, old school computer game on the PC, facehuggers in that. those three things happened in the same week, and because of that, I hate spiders, I hate jellyfish, I hate anything with more than four legs.
Can you eat those things when they're prepared? So like a bit of calamari?
Oh, I enjoy it more than anything else, because I'm like, my turn. There's nothing you can do about it.
Who's a face hugger now?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you're my meal. Exactly. But honestly, like, big spiders, jellyfish, squid. Bleh. No, I can't.
Have you told the team at Blue Peter about this? Because they're probably going to help you address this.
Absolutely. I there's very few things that I would attempt. But honestly, I don't know how. Even thinking about it now, I genuinely don't think I could. I don't know where does a fear end and a phobia begin?
So a logical fear would be, I'm in the room with a black widow spider. I'm not gonna go and pick it up, right?
No.
But I know if it's in that corner of the room and there's maybe a piece of Perspex glass over it and I know it's not gonna get out, I'm cool. If you're in a room and there's a secure tank, and there's a spider in it, how would you feel? Like, you're in this studio, you know, about a few meters by a few meters, and say I just whipped out a black widow and put it on the table in a glass box, would you have to leave the room?
Yeah. I think there'd be a Richie shaped hole in that wall.
Really?
I'd be gone.
I think that's phobia, man.
Like, I think if I, like, when I go to the zoo, like, snakes, fine. But I just, it takes a lot for me to be able to go up to, like, the tarantula cage.
Really?
Yeah.
And is it, do you think this is also because of the face hugger thing
probably,
as well?
Yeah, probably.
This all dates back to that
probably
film.
Probably. Yeah, because I remember not minding spiders. Right. I do remember a time before my fear of eight-legged freaks or jellyfish or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that happened and I was like, nah.
So if you had a room, right, you could be in a room with a spider, a jellyfish, or an octopus. Which one?
Well, it would be an octopus or a jellyfish, because if I'm in a room, then at least I'm not swimming.
Okay, right.
So they'd just be like a pile on the floor and they can't move. You know what I mean? Right.
What about in a room with a spider, in a pool with a jellyfish, or in a pool with an octopus, or water with an octopus?
What spider?
Just a regular tarantula, big old hairy tarantula.
Oh my days.
They're really friendly animals, you know.
According to who?
They're really docile.
I don't understand how you can say they're friendly. Like, you know, you went out with a bit, like went out for a beer and you had a good chat.
Yeah, yeah. They don't like to harm anyone. It's only when they're aggravated. All of the, like, I think the most predatory, like jellyfish, this is what's illogical about our fear of it.
Right.
They're not like actively trying to search us out. They just happen to be really painful, nastily dangerous creatures to us. So I've been on holiday, right? So I'll tell you what, here's what cemented my fear of jellyfish. Wasn't a holiday in Spain with a few lads.
It wasn't the Hof then?
No. Okay. It wasn't. Well, I don't know. This cemented it.
Right.
So the Hof got me scared. But not the Hof, just that episode. Other things I enjoyed about that episode. And so we're just literally chilling on the beach and they're like, one of the guys goes, I want to go for a swim. And I go, what's that on the floor? And it was like a dead jellyfish.
Yeah,
seen that. I said, I'm not going in the water if there's jellyfish in the water.
Exactly.
Everyone goes, oh, that will be fine. I'll be fine. Three guys went in, two of them got stung.
No.
That's it.
Absolutely not.
There you go. I'm not playing that game.
Absolutely not. No, I've been, like, I remember I was on holiday with my mates, Bulgaria, on a yacht or boat, I don't know, whatever.
On a dinghy, don't try.
Yeah, it was a little rubber dinghy from the corner shop.
Yeah.
And I asked someone who's in charge, like, are there any jellyfish? And he said, yes. And I was like, I don't care how picturesque it is, how beautiful it is, the weather's amazing, you know, had a couple of juices. Orange. I didn't care. Didn't care. There was nothing getting me into that water.
What if they were there are some jellyfish that don't sting, so they
don't
just
care.
Look like jellyfish.
Don't
I'm
care.
Not playing that game
don't
either.
I absolutely don't care.
All right.
Absolutely don't care. And to answer your previous question, because I didn't, I would probably have to go with the spider because I can run quicker than I can swim.
Okay, some spiders are faster.
No, what are you doing?
Some spiders. Have you not seen this? Like when a spider's chilling and it's a warm day and they're still, they move. Ooh, they're rapid, climb all up on your face.
No, this is why I would never go to Australia.
All right. Is there anything that you think you are really good with? Like, you know, are you like good with heights and stuff like that? You think, yeah, jumping out of a plane's all right? Because, bruv, this stuff, like...
Oh, my God.
We're saying this trivially. This stuff happens, bro.
Am I good with anything? I am good...
Could be pasta. Any pasta related.
Yeah. I'm good at eating. I can eat. Yeah. What am I good with? Heights, it literally depends. If there is some sort of like scale to the height. So if I was on the top of a really tall building and I could see a person down below,
yeah,
then there's that sort of scale.
Right.
So then I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
But
that's
like
bungee jumping then. Base jumping.
I've never done any of that. But that's the sort of thing I would face. That I could face.
Right.
I've been on London Eye, I've been, you know, skyscrapers, whatever, and look down, it's fine. But so that I think I would face. I've never even come close to jumping out of a plane.
Mm.
But I feel like jumping out of a plane, it's the initial fear and it's the waiting around. But once you're over the edge, that's it. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
If the chute doesn't open, the chute doesn't open. Just enjoy your last few seconds.
What a way to go.
Oh, exactly.
What a great way to go. Exactly. I wouldn't be embarrassed about that.
Nah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like a hero. Doing something like a champ.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Whereas, you know, in a room with a spider or whatever, you know, if you hit it with anything, like I remember I was caught in my front room with a really big spider and I reached for a big old Oxford dictionary and just threw it. Okay. But I still didn't go anywhere near it because I wasn't 100% sure it was dead.
Really?
Honestly.
What about things like rodents then? So like a little mouse. Mouse fine. Is cool. Fine. Spider, no.
No, exactly.
What about a mouse-eating spider? That must be...
You find me a mouse-eating spider.
There are bird-eating spiders out there, mate.
No.
100%. Right, I'll Google this.
I'm not going to look.
No, it's just, look, a bird... No, they look really nice.
No, they don't.
A bird-eating spider. They're really... Look. There you go. Right, I'm Brandy, just going to show...
I've unfollowed people on social media who like post like madness about.
Here's one next to a hand already. Just have a quick look.
Oh my god. Oh no. That is horrendous. I barely even saw it.
They are big.
Oh my gosh.
They are big.
Goodness.
They are enormous. But they are honestly Goliath. That's
no.
a type of spider. Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
No.
So if you Google Goliath bird eater, you will see the picture that I just showed Rich.
Right. What country is that in?
South America.
Right.
I've been there.
Ugh.
They live for 15 to 25 years.
Too long.
The
it's
females, men, 3 to 6.
Right. Not necessary. They don't need to be alive that long.
Wow.
Like, I don't understand. Like,
wow.
What do birds... See, this
Birdie
is the thing.
Spiders.
People say to me, like, you know, oh, we need wasps for the ecosystem.
Yeah.
Because they do more than just annoy you at your barbecue.
Yeah.
We need them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What bird needs to be wiped out by a spider? Why?
I just think it's all about equal rights, you know? If a spider wants to eat a bird, it's fair. Because think about how many birds eat spiders across the world. Think about the poor little house spiders that are crawling around and they stick their head out of the house because, you know, they're a house spider. They go out into the garden to get some fresh air. Bam! Blue tip, eating it. Bam! It's just equal rights, bruv. You got to think of it. It is quite cool to be the spider that eats birds, though. Think about it. You are, like, in the spider world, people look up to
you. You're the Don.
Imagine one of us. Imagine I'm like Marcus, the guy that beat up a shark.
Yeah.
You'd be like, whoa.
If I could be resuscitated as any animal. If I could be resurrected as any animal, it would be one that I'm scared of. So that's all it. Right. Do you know what I mean? It would be the Goliath.
You're scared of yourself.
Well, no, I don't feel like I'd look in the mirror and be like, oh, what sort of existence would that be? No, I feel like if I am it,
yeah.
I can't be scared of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So you're saying to conquer fear, you must become fear.
Right, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
To conquer spider
that sounds
fear.
Like that sounds like a tagline from a film.
Really?
Yeah.
To become fear, you must become fear. Yeah, really? Oh, damn.
I'm sure it's a tagline from a film.
Is it anything to do with bats? Another creature. No, you're not scared of bats, are you?
Fine.
Yeah, all right, cool. So.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Killing time, Rich. How do you like to kill time? I know for the next few years, you're going to be killing a lot of time doing some amazing work, creating some epic TV.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I pray, and I will watch you and some sort of small bird of prey or some spider of prey.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, that would be a picture.
But how do you like to kill time though, bro?
I'm a big gamer. I just finished a game which is one of the best games I've played for many, many years and one that I am 3 years late to. Mm-hmm. I apologize to Respawn Entertainment for Titanfall 2 and not playing it sooner. It's absolutely brilliant. Honestly, one of the best shoot-em-ups I've played probably in the last decade.
And what made you pick it up now of all time?
Oh, my flatmate had it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I was like, it's about time I played this. So yeah, I need to. It was above and beyond any sort of expectation I had of any sort of shoot 'em up. It's more than just a giant robot and you controlling a giant robot every now and again. It's far more than that. Some of the mechanics in the game are brilliant.
And for those that don't know about you, like, you've got quite a history in gaming journalism and stuff as well, because you were actually one of the founding members of GGR. Gadgets, Games and Rhymes.
Games, Gadgets and Rhymes.
Games, Gadgets and Rhymes. Gadgets, Games, Games, Games and Gadgets on GRM Daily. And that was like probably the first ever entertainment outlet that kind of in that world that kind of went for that whole grime, gadgets and games.
Yeah, absolutely. Or games, rhymes.
Games, rhymes and gadgets. Yeah, I'm gadgets, rhymes and yeah.
No,
but you're like the first people that I saw that kind of looked like me that were looking at games specifically. And whilst we were over here doing How to Kill an Hour in the podcast world, it was really nice to see you doing that visually on YouTube. So, like, can you talk us through how that happened?
Yeah, I mean, it was an open goal and it was something that I had in my mind for a while, like ages and ages and ages, in that I'd sort of be, because I was doing radio at the time, doing commercial radio. I wasn't doing commercial radio at all. I'm lying. I was doing community radio.
West Side.
Big station. Yeah, I was there. And I had an idea in my mind that I was a gamer, and whenever it came up in conversation, however, I always sort of felt maybe a little bit embarrassed that it had a certain tag next to it. Oh, you're a gamer, you're a nerd.
Mm.
Guilty. Yeah. Guilty as charged, but maybe not necessarily looked at as a good thing at all. It was like, you know, you're automatically, you know, covered in acne and glasses and...
No friends.
Do you know what I mean?
Unsocial. It's an unsocial thing.
There you go. That's the phrase I was looking for. And I was working because while doing community radio, I was juggling, you know, bar work, pub work, and also working for brands if ever they put on events. So I was brand ambassador, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at an Assassin's Creed event. And so big game. It was for Assassin's Creed Syndicate. And there was a guy there who I recognised. Shout out Mr. Midas. I thought you were someone else. And I went up to you and I was like, yeah, I recognise you.
Who did you think he was?
I can't remember. Honestly, I can't remember. I thought you were someone else. I was like, oh, I recognise you. And he was like, yeah, I've done a bit of presenting. And I was like, okay. And then sort of, we followed each other on social media. And it turned out he wasn't who I thought he was, but I went with it anyway. And I DM'd him and saying that I've got an idea for this series, and you've got all of the presenting experience, you know, you've got all the connects. I don't at all. How do you feel about setting, you know, people like us that are into, that can be into like your urban music, you know, and meshing that with gaming, having them play head to head and then just letting their banter, their charisma shine through the video. Yeah, great idea. So he called up his people at Grime Daily. One thing led to another. Long story short, it is what it is. And it's on to what? It's fifth season now? Fourth season?
Fifth season. Yeah, yeah.
What a bloke. I'm going to give him a round of applause because that is absolutely amazing. I was only around for the first season before moving on. Jumping ship.
Yeah, but it, I mean, it's, I think your testament to kind of this, and there's many ways to get into entertainment. There's an unlimited number of ways, right? But I think your testament to the kind of do-it-yourself people. Like, you know, you came with an idea, you guys wrote it, you guys produced it, you guys made sure that you were there around the editing side of it to make sure it was clean. And it's kind of turned into something you expect to see regularly now. And you kind of showed where TV can go. Because it's that whole thing, like, people talking about, oh, TV's dead. I'm like, not really dead. It's just the way people consume it and where they consume it.
Exactly.
Is important. And kind of getting something like that and getting it on a platform like GRM Daily kind of helped to really get it to the right people quickly. And it's a, and it's something that, it's one of the steps that Grime Daily have taken that that I'm really happy about, man. I think it's a really good look to show some diversity with regards to the content that you can put out on a channel and that people interact with it and enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? Because they are primarily music.
Yeah, exactly. And also, since landing this most recent job, I've had people left, right and centre saying, oh, so how did you get to that? How did you get to that? And I reckon, honestly, a massive, massive chunk of how I am fortunate enough to be in the position I'm in now is because I've got more than just a presenting string to my bow. It was me sort of creating with Midas an original concept and then being able to produce it, being able to liaise with GRM Daily, with any sort of music labels, whatever, whenever, and then putting it out as well. It's much more than just standing in front of a camera and delivering lines.
100%. I feel like there are roles like that that are still there to be filled, where you just stand in front of the camera and just say your lines, like Richie's going to be doing for the next few years. No, I'm joking. But, you know, also to create something can help as well. Like, so my trajectory has been based around, like, if I look at every single milestone that I've got to, loads of help from other people, granted, too many to thank. But it's been me making, writing and saying, here's the idea. Because sometimes when you've got an idea and you're young and you're fresh, everyone has great ideas.
Yep.
Like me and you could just say, hey, let's build batteries that last forever for phones.
Done.
Great, right? Done. But how do you get that, make that happen?
Exactly.
So by making the show yourself and putting it out there, that's kind of what gets you out there, you know? Yeah. And, you know, whether it's your own showreel as a presenter that loads of presenters do, or creating your own content to then put in your showreel, that can kind of give you a jump start. I think your testament to that, it's really good. When I was on holiday, lying on my back in the sun, and my phone went bloop, and there was like you saying, I'm the 38th presenter. I was like, yes, the hard work paid off, man.
Yeah.
And it was a grind though, wasn't it? Like, you've created so much content.
I am 30 years young. I didn't get my first paid job in anything. Like, the Grime Daily stuff, the plan was to make it as difficult for GRM Daily to say no as possible.
Yeah.
So we did everything.
Yeah.
All we needed from them were the connects to the artists and the platform.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't paying for anything. We were.
Yeah.
I didn't get my first paid job in this industry until I was 27.
There we go.
So,
there we go.
You know, working in a pub where the average age of the customer was 74 at the age of 27 or 26 isn't exactly the best look in the world, but it is what it is.
How did that feel for you at the time? The pub work, was it motivating, or did it drag you down a bit? How did GRM, the fact that you were doing that content, GDR, how did that kind of affect how you felt? Was that like a nice outlet to kind of keep you focused?
It was sort of a bit born out of frustration of not going as fast, not moving and progressing as fast as I wanted to. That I was like, do you know what? Allow all this. I'm going to create my own thing.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit out of frustration. Big shout out to Westside. I love you all to bits. But I was there for 3 years and I was I need to push on. So it was a little bit born out of frustration. I was like, right, I'm going to turn that frustration into motivation to be able to stand on my own 2 feet and create something rather than sort of sitting back, doing the show every week and hoping something would happen.
100%. Yeah. 100%. So just to put this into hard numbers, when would you say your journey in the industry started? How old were you?
I first attempted any sort of Okay. So I would say I entered the industry when I was 24.
Yeah.
So out of university, I got a degree in film and television, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. I did a little bit of accidental presenting at uni.
Yeah.
In that there was sort
Please
of...
say it's on YouTube.
It's not. Is on it YouTube. No, it's not.
Damn. Yeah,
thankfully.
Hi, Richie Driss in green with the uni trim. I want to know what a uni haircut was.
Oh, the uni trim was horrific. Yeah. It was like a faux mohawk.
Wow.
Yeah, skin fade on the sides. But also the sort of tail at the back went off to one side.
You had the tail. The tadpole tail.
Oh, mate.
Damn.
Absolutely not a good look at all.
Yeah.
I thought I was cool. No one else did.
Yeah, there's no uni trim that really looks good.
No.
I'm so glad that over the years I've just gone short back and sides. Yeah. A couple of times I've been like, I'm going to grow a beard.
At least you can, though. I can't.
Listen, this I've got here, this is what I could do. At the moment, I've just got like a kind of semi-shaped stubble, but I really tried to have like the Craig David, like the
box goatee type.
Like the on the sides, it was really thin, like almost one line of hair.
Yeah,
I probably couldn't grow much more than that. Yeah, and then an afro didn't work, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah.
But sorry, you were saying that. Yeah, 24 you started.
24. I went to my local radio station in Luton and blagged my way in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, look, I did radio at university. I didn't. Yeah. I didn't do any radio at university, but I did say, look, I've done radio at university and I want to gain some experience. Got in there and I sat in on the drive time show, eventually got talking to someone afterwards. And so my first presenting per se was, well, I wouldn't even call it presenting because I was sat on the radio being asked questions and answering them, but just on air. So I wasn't presenting. But then I entered something called Kiss Chosen One.
Yep.
Out of the whole of the UK, got to the top 10.
Nice.
It's basically an open audition to be the next Kiss presenter. From there, I got picked up by Westside and then did that for 3 years. Met you along the way at the Capital Extra Music Potential.
Oh, shit, yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yes. Yep. You were one of the many faces in there.
I was.
That we said, Funk Butcher and I said, there's a lot of fucking talent in this room. Yeah. I swear, I'm not just saying this. There's you and a few other presenters that are actually very active at the moment.
Yep.
That Funk Butcher and I said, you guys... There's some energy in the room that we think is really going to go somewhere. And I'm not exaggerating. We came out of that. And I remember that day, actually, because I scuffed my Jordans for the first time. They were one of my favorite pairs of Jordans. And Funk Butcher was laughing at me, crying about it. And after the session, it was at the Roundhouse.
Yep.
We spent some time just discussing how important it is to have the right energy. And I think that group in that room, I don't know how you felt at the time. You can tell me, did you feed off each other's energy in quite a positive way? Did you feel like you were all kind of pushing in the right direction?
I'm absolutely still in touch with a few of them. Shout out to Kays.
Yep.
Absolutely still in touch with him, for example. I can't remember any other names. I'm sorry. I can't remember any other names off the top of my head, but there are definitely some people out there that I was like, yeah, absolutely feed off each other. I get it. Do you know what I mean? You look at some people and be like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Instantly like that.
Yeah.
I get it. I get what you're all about. And you're going to go far. Yeah, it was amazing to be in a room like that.
With me, obviously. Well, at the time.
Yeah. Of course. Shout out to Funk Butcher as well. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a guy.
He still does take time to kind of educate people. And that's something I'd love to do. I'd love to talk more about that, because I think part of your journey is that you were really proactive. And I think that does make a difference. I mean, you weren't just proactive in a relentless, unnecessary, weird, off key, being so busy that I'm not actually doing anything route. You actually went and made stuff, and it's really like built up to a nice
thank you. I said like anyone that's listening, I think it's important to be able to create your own lane as well.
Definitely, so. Man, you definitely did that.
Thank you.
How was that course for you, by the way? Do you think that helped to kind of focus you at the time?
Yeah, it got me demos at Capital. I mean, I didn't get any of the demos or I didn't get the opportunity, but to be fair, I'm clearly absolutely not complaining now. No, it was brilliant to be given the opportunity to just demo at a station like Capital Extra, do work experience there as well. Like anything that I think gives, because there's a perception that presenting jobs, radio jobs, go to people that have just, you know, come off of The Only Way Is Essex. Do you know what I mean? Like a social media, they've got a social media following, they've got hundreds of thousands of followers, therefore they are worth more than some. I've got only not even 4,000. And like, as I said, I'm lucky enough to have the job that I've got. And there is a perception that if you don't have a social media following, you're not going to get a job. And it's absolutely not true.
And also there's in this day and age, there's so much more with regards to resource. Yeah. So like, for example, when, you know, I saw you at Music Potential, then radio was very much the only way you could get your audio out there.
Yeah.
Now look at how prolific podcasts are. Do you know what I mean? Right now you're on a podcast that's on the front page of iTunes. Hey, but you know, like, and it's self-produced in house. You got the gag. So you know, like, and you've got a show, GGR, that is a staple part of the community out there for gaming, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a platform that other people will be able to use because you helped to establish that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a great way. Right, so we know what you did in the past, right?
Yeah.
We know where you're at now.
Yeah.
It's inevitable you're going to move on from Blue Peter. In a positive way, it's going to happen. It happens, right? Yep. Shout out to Radzi. Great run in.
Yep.
Great innings. And yep. He's off on his way now. Blue Peter, right?
Yeah.
You've had your run.
Yeah.
What can you see you doing afterwards? Because you've got a skill set where you can write. You'll have forgotten about that in 5 years' time because you'll just be used to turning up on set and saying, no, I'm joking. You're going to have 5 years, you're going to experience some of the best TV years of your life yet.
Yeah.
Where can you see yourself going after this? Straight to Hollywood?
Oh, wow. Do you know what? If you asked me this sort of 6 months ago, maybe even 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Before all of this absolute madness in the best possible way happened.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, oh, you know, I'm going to keep those goals sort of to myself, you know, because I didn't want to look silly necessarily. Do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. some people, you know, I was quite protective over, you know, personal goals and all that kind of thing. And one of them was to do TV, get into TV. Box ticked. Well, actually, I say box ticked. I haven't actually, strictly speaking, done it yet. Give me 48 hours.
Sex, what?
Yeah, give me 48 hours.
Yeah.
So, but no, I've always said I would love to be in the position where, because a lot of what I did at Joe Media was with celebrities, actors, etc. And I was going to them and I was sort of in their territory and I'd go to their room and I'd sit in their hotel, not their hotel room per se, but a hotel room that was where journalists were on rotation, journalists and presenters on rotation. You get 4 minutes, right, 4 minutes is done, get out, done. I go to them. I would consider myself one of the luckiest people on earth if I'm in a position where they come to me. Do you know what I mean? Welcome to my XYZ. 100%.
And Richie, your show.
They want to come to me and they want to be like, you know, I get a phone call saying, oh, X, Y, and Z wants to come and talk about A, B, and C.
Okay.
So.
That makes sense.
There you go. It's out there. It's out there in the universe.
I like
Instead
that.
Of just keeping it to myself. I don't know if how many people I've told that. Not many at all.
Well, now you've told all of our audience.
Yeah, exactly.
You told
Hi there.
You had.
Don't laugh at me. Okay.
I think that's a great achievement to have a platform where people come to you, man.
Yeah.
Is that because it saves bus fare?
Absolutely. That's literally the only reason. Yeah. That place that I'm on about is just my front room.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, like...
I roll out of bed.
Yeah.
Cup of tea. Knock on the door. Yeah, come in. Let's do what.
100%. If it's filmed, just put a shirt on. Yeah. Wear shorts under the tables.
Yeah,
right?
That's it.
Easy.
Done.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I look forward to you doing that, man. And where can we find you on social media? I feel like you're going to be doing some crazy stuff over the next few years. Flying planes.
Yeah.
Chilling with birdie in spiders.
No.
Swimming with jellyfish.
Absolutely not. I'd rather do the plane flying thing.
Feeding sharks, chum.
Throw me off a building before you put me in a room with a spider.
Great.
With a parachute.
Great to put that on your tombstone.
Yeah, exactly.
Famous last words.
Yeah.
So where can you find you on the social?
I am Instagram and Twitter at Richie Driss. I don't know. If you're one of these people that spell Richie with a T, just don't. R-I-C-H-I-E.
Okay.
Like, why add a T in? Driss, D-R-I-S-S. So, at Richie Driss.
At Richie Driss.
Yes.
Is your name Richie or are you a Richard?
I'm a Richard.
You're a Richard?
I'm a Richard.
Okay, so when you're in trouble, is that what you get called? Richard?
Yeah, that's it. That's
all right,
it.
Cool.
I found out yesterday that, as well as, you know, the obvious Dick, which is short for Richard.
Yeah.
Rex is short for Richard.
No.
I found this out yesterday.
Really?
Apparently.
Really?
Apparently.
So can I call you Rex? Yo, Rexy.
Yeah, I mean, Rexy, baby. I like it. So, yeah, Rex is big.
And if you see Richie out and you really want to make his back stand up, you got to say, Richard! Like that. Richard Driss.
Yeah, then I'll just think you're my mum. I'm going to go at me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Instant reaction.
Anyway, we've got to wrap this now because basically we've had our hour with you and I've got to go and watch this John Wick film now.
You lucky guy.
Yeah, I'll let you know how good it is. Spoilers, sure, on the gram.
Don't be that guy, though.
I'm not that guy.
Nah.
Okay. I'll just DM you them. Once again, don't forget, you can head to britishpodcastawards.com/vote to vote for us for the People's Choice Award, the Listener's Choice Award, actually, supported by BBC Sounds. All you have to do is go to that website, britishpodcastawards.com/vote. We'll put a link to that in the description to the show as well. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. I've been Marcus Bronzy, and you have been the only...
Have been, past tense.
You have been, yeah. Okay. You have been.
Yeah.
You've been Richard.
I have.
And now you are Richie Driss. Thanks for coming on the show, man. Appreciate you.
Nice one.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.